Campus FM presenta Il Senato alle Storie. Produzioni e presentazioni tra Emanuel Buttigieg finché Maliam Gauci.
L-għaw l-semija ta' Campus FM, miwara l-mikrofonu, Manuel Buttigieg u Liam Gauci, għal-programmi ħor s-sena tal-istoria. Kif drajtu z-semija nibdew billi nħarsu lejn xie kidba, l-għaw net, u l-lum għanna ktib, sabiħ ħafna fl-opinjoni tijaj, il-historien hija Natalie Zimon Davis, waħda mill-istoriċi favoriti tijaj personali, irrobni xol kollu taħħa, dal-ktib partikolari jismu Trickster's Travels, The Search for Leo Africanus, li kien ħareġ l-2006, u xinu għadan? Leo Africanus huwa karattru magħruf fis-seklu 16, hemm oħrajn li kitbu dwaru. Ta' kien bniedem li twielet fid-dinja Iżlamika, twielet bħala Ħasan al-Wazan, fl-1518, Palma kien spisiġir fil-Mediterran waqa priġunier waqt xi attakk tal-kursara jew pirati jew flotot ovvjament f'dar każ insara li attakkaw flotta musulmana. Spiċċa preżentat lil Papa tal-ġurnata, l-Papa ha grazzja miegħu fis-sens għax dak kien bniedem ta' karizma, ta' skola, intelligenti ħafna. U taħt il-protezzjoni tal-Papa dan Ħasan al-Wazan. Biċċa sar Leo Africanus, ġifiri konverta l-Kristjanizmu għatta numru ta' snin u mbagħad f'Ruma jistudja u kien infittex speċifikament għaliex peress li kien ġej mid-dinja Musulmana kienu jħarsu lejh bħala sors biex jitgħallmu fuq dik id-dinja. Kemm għal skopijiet illum kieku ngħidulhom etnografiċi, però anke għal skopijiet politiċi, militari, reliġjużi, għaliex inti jekk tiffaċċa għadu għandek bżonn tkun taf dwaru x'hekk. Eventwalment jirnexxielu imma jerġa' jmur lura meta għandek il-famuż assedju ta' Ruma mit-truppi ta' Charles V, the Sack of Rome, jsib l-okkażjoni li jiżgiċċa f'dak il-paniku. U Natalie Zimon Davis tipprova segwi ħajtu kemm qabel u kemm wara dak is-soġġern Ruman. Ġifieri għandek stejjer li fl-arkivi ta' Malta nsibuhom mhu qbit, konverżjoni, dilemmi.
Apostasija hija huwa suġġett interessanti ħafna u għalkemm dan l-eżempju huwa bikri ħafna li jgħidu spettakolari, ma mhux ħafna kienu ħajkunu daqshekk spettakolari, imma huwa naħseb fenomenu tal-Mediterran fejn għandek dawn ir-reliġjonijiet kollha qegħdin jiena nħobb ngħid qegħdin jitħaltu fil-Baħar Mediterran. U dan l-impatt jidher f'ħajjiet ta' nies bħal dan li inti Musulman, nisrani, tiġi endorsed mill-komunità nisranija u kien hemm ħafna minnhom li daw kważi jsiru ejja ngħidu mhux in-nies famużi ta' dik il-belt, dawn huma li ġejjin from afar, u mbagħad jerġa' jdur lura. Hemm min jgħidulhom kienu opportunisti, hemm min kienu jgħidulhom huma riżultat tas-sitwazzjoni tagħhom, imma l-iktar ħaġa interessanti hija li tistudja din il-ħajja ta' dawn in-nies u tara x'impatt ħallew, għax dik hija wkoll interessanti ta' x'impatt ħallew fil-komunitajiet ta' madwar il-Mediterran. Malta kellna ħafna minn dawn l-eżempju.
U kemm interessanti n-natura tal-bniedem mhux għax inti hija f'sitwazzjoni diffiċli ħafna. Issa kif ħadd kampa?
Eżatt.
U dale Africanus kampa tajjeb. Però sgiċċa ma l-ewwel ċans li kellu, oħrajn għażlu li jibqgħu. U oħrajn għażlu li qas jikkonvertu, ġifieri hemm stejjer vera sbieħ li jiftħulna dit-tieqa fuq dal-Mediterran li kif qed inti tant huwa affaxxinanti.
Affaxxinanti.
Thank you.
Nil-għawkom semmija l-ura għal-program s-sena tal-istoria ma' Manuel Buttigieġ u Liam Gawċi u naddu biex passoltu nintaqaw mal-mistiden tal-ġurnata il-luma naċħat li mux Malti l-ura fil-fat wara li namel din l-introduzzjoni qasira naqilbu għal-Ingliż. Bi pjaċir nil-għaw l-sera għad-Suppardi u Bibratic li palissa tinsab propju fl-axħar stadji tal-dottorat tagħha li qiegħda tagħmel mal-Università tal-Lozen fl-Iżvizzera. Matul l-2016 u 17 sera kienet qiegħda Malta bħala parti mill-istudji tagħha. F'dan il-perjodu kienet mistiedna fi ħdan id-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Fakultà tal-Arti tal-Università ta' Malta. U l-istudji tagħha kienu ssapportjati mid-Doc. Mobility Program tal-Akkademja Nazzjonali għax-Xjenza tal-Iżvizzera. It-teżi tad-dottorat tagħha huwa studju oriġinali dwar il-lut f'Malta fi żmien ta' San Ġwan, partikolarment kif ħajjithom toħroġ mid-dokumenti tal-Inkwiżizzjoni ta' Malta. Qabel ma bdiet ir-rabta tagħha ma' Malta sejra kienet tgħallem fi ħdan id-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tar-Reliġjon fl-Università tal-Lozen. Sarah, thank you for accepting our invitation and being here with us today. The first question that we're asking our guests is what got you interested in the first place in history and the study of history?
So first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure and an honor. So I would say that my first interest came first and foremost, I think, from my family, because I have the luck to have a family who was really keen in history, my grandparents and my father and so forth. So I think that they gave me the virus of history. But obviously then when I started university, paradoxically, it wasn't my first choice, history. I came to history at the second choice, but I started first to study history of religion, specifically called like religious studies. And after a few weeks of attending the lectures, I realized that I wanted really to focus on this topic, and that definitely history would be a good methodological tool and approach to study religion as social facts. And so yes, I decided that my main interest, I mean, it's not that I decided, but my main interest really went into history, and to be able then to understand how religions evolves, the religious systems evolves through an historical perspective. So this was really my first
entry.
Obviously, was there somebody who inspired you, who was teaching you, a professor or a lecturer at university, or earlier?
I think it came earlier, because I was really lucky to have at school and high school teachers who were really involving themselves in their teachings, and they knew how to spark interest on the students. And I still remember that, I think that this was the key point when I really like get stuck to history, because one of our teacher at high school asked us to do our genealogical tree. Right. And out of this genealogical tree, we had to pick up a topic and to write an essay on this topic. And I think that he really knew how to make us part of our own reflection on history. And I think that pedagogically, thank you. it's really a good point. And definitely, I think that this is how I basically followed on my studies, like following my interests, because I think that as soon as you have really like a topic that particularly interests you, obviously it's easier than to do something. And this is what happened as well with my research, my PhD. So I came on holidays to Malta, and then I get stuck on one book, and then I kept on going and researching on the history of the Jews in Malta.
That's my next question. Why the Jews?
Why the Jews?
Yes.
And why Malta?
And why Malta?
Yes.
Why the Jews? Basically, this is simply because when you study at university religious studies, at least in Switzerland, we really have this option of studying it in a comparative way. So you have to choose two religions to study, and then you keep. So one was Islam, and the other one was Judaism. And so I kept my focus mostly on Judaism, even though I'm still doing a comparative approach, but like an internal religious comparative approach. And so Judaism came like this, I mean, by...
Came to you.
It came to me.
Okay.
And why Judaism in Malta specifically? Basically, it's because 13 years ago I came on holidays in Malta, and I mean, I think this is the historical virus. I started to try to read and see what was the Maltese history, and because I didn't know much about it, and then obviously to see if there was a Jewish community and what was the history of the Jewish community. So I came across the book, which was the book of Aline Nina Tayar, How Shall We Sing? The subtitle is The Journey of a Jewish Family in Malta.
Oh, right.
And basically this novel just like widened my interest on the topic, and specifically because the author really emphasized the historical perspective, because she made an introduction about the Jews in Malta, and then I started digging here and starting reading the works of many scholars about this topic, and slowly, I found a key to try to understand the issues about the presence of a Jewish community, especially during the night period in Malta.
Which brings us to the next question. Now, you know, you're at the end of your PhD, more or less. What would you say is your most exciting discovery or insight from your studies?
So I think that obviously it's not really like I didn't find much more on a matter of archives. I worked on previous work. I went to the archives obviously because I wanted to see the documents and to grab what I could grab more from those documents, especially from the inquisitorial archives. And my goal was really to make a step forward, mm-hmm. and to see the history of the Jews in Malta in a wider perspective, and to reintroduce it in the wider subject of the Jews, the Jewish communities in the Mediterranean Sea, and especially on the topic of the religious conversions. So yes, it's more to have a discourse around this topic of conversion, and to see how by comparing different contexts something can emerge from sources that have been already studied and so forth. So my topic was really to compare the religious conversions in Malta with the religious conversions in Spain, the forced conversion in Spain, right. in Italy, but also the phenomenon of the medieval Jewish community confronted to the expulsion, the edict of expulsion in 1492. So it's the main topic was really the conversion, the religious conversion, and how identity can be reconstructed after a forced or semi-forced conversion. Right. And so this is really how tried to contribute.
So if I, you know, before I met you in the archive.
Best club on the island.
Yes. I sort of went by the impression, you know, you got Gottfried Wettinger's great book, The Jews of Malta, yes. the Late Middle Ages, 1492, no more Jews until sort of the British period, and mm-hmm. then they somehow come back.
Mm-hmm.
And there in comes Sarah to correct the picture. And of course, others have written on the subject, like Franz Chapara.
Definitely.
But there is actually enough material for such an extensive study. It's fascinating in itself, isn't it?
And I want to know more. Tell us more about the situation in Malta.
Basically, the Malta scholars really like picture it really well. The situation of the Jews during the night period mostly is the situation of the slaves, because they were enslaved by the order.
So the Jews you're looking at are mostly slaves?
For the 18th century, they are mostly slaves. Right. And what I managed to point out is that most probably, but still, I mean, the sources that we have are quite different. They come from different archives, and they don't have always the same content. So you try to make a cross analysis to get a whole picture. And what I suggest is that during the 18th century, there were less slaves, but more free Jews who were coming either for to trade because they have self-conduct, or neophytes who came to Malta and went straight away to the inquisitor, saying that they were apostate because they went back to North Africa or in Jewish communities, and then they asked for their reconciliation, right, coming to Malta, so they were allowed to enter the island. And so still there were really few. But what is interesting, I think, and especially using a comparative approach, is that you can see that some mechanism due to conversion are similar, or like present some kind of link with what had happened in Spain with the forced convert. Obviously, it's not exact. This is the main subject of comparatism. It's not to find exactly the same principle or the same structures.
No, two cases are exactly
the same. But to see how from what we depict in the Spanish inquisitorial system, how context influence the way that that the Jews converted. So basically I do as well a comparison between the structure of the prison and the structure of the ghetto in Italy. Okay. And how the church used the ghetto to bring Jews to conversion, and how indirectly the prison brought Jews as well to convert and so on.
Oh. Which archives have you used for your research?
I mainly use, obviously, the archives of the Inquisition in Malta. Most of the documents come from the Processi Criminali. And at the beginning, I was trying at least to cross all the material that where Jews were mentioned in Malta. So I also went to the archives of the Order of Malta, the notarial archives in Valletta, and I had the luck to be allowed to go to Venice, to the Jewish community in Venice, and to have access to the copies of the letter of the Cassa di riscatto degli schiavi, so the redemption of the slaves. So there were copies of letters. Unfortunately, one of them has been lost. So I had just this period between 1654 till 1670, but quite
a nice chunk
of letters. And obviously at the beginning I was trying, I was thinking that I will manage to make links between the persons, because I really went through all the names trying to make a record of the names and thinking that there will be some matching. Obviously, no, because when you look for something, you don't find it. But then I get into discussion with my material. Yeah, so basically then I restricted the material, and the material of the Order of Malta, the notarial archives, helped me really to depict the context within which I reintroduced the problematic of the denunciation and the trials and the self-comparison of the material of the Inquisition. So it was really like making a discussion between this material. And yes, it's really helpful to, in a way, to use comparison, because otherwise the material doesn't really show, I think, its whole expanding. And by comparing cases in Italy about trial against Jews and so forth, then you have a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And then I think that you can really go through further in the explanation.
So what was different in Malta when you're doing all these comparisons? What was different from the Jews in Malta? What was different from those around the Mediterranean?
I wouldn't say that it's different. I would say that it can give a wider picture.
Okay.
In the sense that most of the research that have been held concerning the Jews in Italy, for instance, especially concerning the conversion, deal with the descendant of the Marranos. So basically, when the converted Jews in Spain left Spain, they spread all around Europe, and especially in Italy, where they increased the number of the local Jewish communities, and then they really increased those communities. So basically, when they returned, when they went to Italy, for those descendants of the conversos, they went back to Judaism. So, and they were allowed, like, for instance, in Venice, they were allowed to go back to Judaism as soon as they were in the ghetto. In Malta, it wasn't the same situation because, firstly, they are not descendants of conversos, the Jews, or at least
they
shouldn't. As far as they say in the trials, they are not. But what is interesting, it's more the how the context can influence the way that they converted. So, for instance, we know, and it has been stated by several scholars, that there weren't forced conversions in Malta during the night period. But the context, the slavery context for concerning the Jews, and at the same time, the presence of the Inquisition, which was really involved in the mostly on against Protestantism, but I mean the core of the Inquisition was to unify Catholicism. Does these two
factors
lead to induce conversion for Jews? But it can be also the case for other infidels, between commas. And this is the core of the topic. It's how this context, as soon as you have a coercive context, how the identities are rebuilt. And for the Jews in Malta, I identified like three steps in those reconstructions of the identity. First, with the baptism of the children, who basically we don't have any more information except the baptism. So it shows that the baptism of the children were really important, because from the baptism of children, the church ensured the fact that Catholicism will be
continue.
Then during a short period at the beginning of the 17th century, through the inquisitorial sources, we can see that there was most probably a kind of crypto-Jewish community. So basically slaves who get converted, they were living in Malta still as slaves, but neophyte slaves with the more rights privilege. But as there was still a Jewish community in the prison, the Jewish slaves community in the prison, they tended to practice Judaism even though they were baptized. And this period, as far as we can see from the sources, lasted for around 10 years. And I suggest that after this period, the ransoming of the slaves for the Jewish slaves was increasing. So most probably they converted less during the middle of the 17th century. And the Jews who tended to come to Malta during the end of 18th century, the end of the 17th century, tended to reappropriate for themselves the discourse of the church. So basically, when they this is what Franz Chaparra as well mentioned it for the Muslims in Malta, through the narratives, the conversion narratives, we see that they present themselves as being Christians by heart. But then, if once again you compare the situation and in the full picture of the history of conversion in Judaism, then you can see that, okay, it's this is how they present themselves. This is how the church accepted them as well, as to reconciliate them and so forth. But from the denunciations and documents of the Inquisition, you can see that it's like Judaism is reactivate in certain circumstances. Like, for instance, when they are close to die, all of a sudden they say that I want to die as a Jew, or there are really few cases, but it's just the whole picture. When you put all together those documents and when you create a kind of a chronological line with those documents, yes, a series of documents, then you have a whole picture and you can see...
A much better picture.
In my opinion, this is what shows.
Very quickly, the last question. Why is history important?
I see history as a dialogue. I see history as a dialogue, first of all, between the historian and the sources, because I mean you have to get into discussion with the material that you have. And it's also a dialogue between contexts, obviously, because definitely we have to do history per se for a local context, but then I mean it takes all its value when we start to try to understand it in still a wider picture. And I think that the most important thing, and at least the past decades, is to interrogate as well history per se, like how we produce a discourse on our own history. And I think that this phase as well of historiographically, it's important because it's the way that we can enter in discussion with other contexts, other way of dealing with history, and definitely to open a dialogue between cultures and societies.
Thank you, Sara.
Thank you very much.
And with that, we come to the end of our program today. Again, another fascinating program. Fismi u fisem Manuel, grazzi l-semija ta' Campus FM, insalmulkom.
Għadkom kan smajtu Is-sena tal-istorja. Bi produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Emanuel Butiġiċ u Liam Gawċi.